Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food.
Food, 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 food,
food. Oh, you know who's here with me again today. It's my co-host, Gary DiMattei. Gary.
Aaron, it's so great to see you. You look so adorable.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
You do. I wish I could see how adorable you are.
I actually went to a hair salon this week.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Risked my life.
You actually got your hair did.
I did. And I went and I put a mask on and everybody in the salon had a mask on and they did a fine job. Thank you, Evelina.
Yeah.
My stylist.
It looks great, Karen.
Thank you. Your hair
always looks great, but I must say it is exceptional today.
Well, it's nice to get a trim.
Yes.
And get it blown out and feel like a new woman.
I feel like a new woman.
Because I've been living with COVID hair for...
COVID
six,
hair!
6 months. COVID hair.
Yeah, but hey.
Not just COVID hair, but summer in New York hair.
Summer in New York COVID hair means frizz hair. I mean, look at mine. No, don't look at mine. It's really out of control.
Summer in New York with humidity, there's nothing you can do. You just have to accept
and
what
move,
is.
And move on.
Yes. Now, this is where shea butter comes in, and I think I learned this from you.
Shea butter is fabulous.
So, you know, we like to use very simple, natural products with no man-made ingredients.
Right.
And shea butter really works wonders on curly, frizzy hair.
Yes.
Especially in humidity. So there's a tip for you curly, frizzy hair people.
Like Karen and I.
Shea butter has saved the day a few times during the summer.
Yeah. Shea butter's great. I like to put it on my skin and
well, I make a deodorant.
Yes.
With shea butter, coconut oil, and I used to use baking soda, but I don't anymore because you react to it and other people react to it.
Yeah.
And I don't need it, so I don't put it in anymore.
And lately, here during COVID, I haven't even been wearing deodorant.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that, Karen.
That it's not a problem, Gary, but things have definitely changed in terms of our...
hygiene.
Our hygiene, our lifestyle.
No, we're always very clean, and we're always very...
Sweet-smelling.
Sweet-smelling. Unless we're working out. And then stay in your own side of the apartment.
Yes. I also like to make a body cream with shea butter and coconut oil. And
maybe we should be playing some music during this explanation of the body cream.
Yeah, but I like to make my own personal care products.
I like to make my own personal care products. Karen Hartglass.
Yes. One day I'll put my recipes up at responsibleeatingandliving.com.
I think you already have. I think you already have a recipe up
for
one of your schmearies,
call
them. Yeah,
I'll link it in this show.
You've already done it.
I don't think I've done them all, but I'll
You've
link
done one of them,
the
and
ones
it,
that I've
it's
done.
It's one that we use all the time. We call it our schmearies.
Our schmearies.
Our schmearies. Try our schmearies.
Anyway,
so sophisticated we are. We call it schmearies. And you know, on that note, that's a bit of Yiddish.
Yeah.
We should talk about how we made it through August.
We made it through August.
Isn't that great?
I don't get the transition.
Well, September is the High Holy Days.
Oh, it's the month for Jewish holidays.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, we made it out of August 31st.
I mean, I'm not even a Jew and I know that September is the High Holy Days.
You're very good.
And so anyway...
We made it to September.
Last week, I didn't think I was going to make it to September.
Yes,
I didn't think I was ever going to make it out of August.
We did. Welcome to September 2020 for all of you who have made it. Congratulations.
Try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then
follow.
Thank you, Karen, for finishing that
beautifully. From the Fantastics.
Yeah, and that was fantastic. No, but I mean, I didn't think I was going to make it to September, let alone remember September. I can't even remember August. I've blocked it out of my mind. But there are some holidays in September, and some of them are beautiful and lovely, and the sentiment is fabulous, and some of it is so cruel.
Oh, that's true.
Some of it is so cruel.
Okay, let's just start with Labor Day, because everybody just finished up Labor Day weekend. I hope you all had a wonderful Labor Day weekend.
Yes, happy Labor Day.
I hope you weren't out in the world with too many people sharing your germs. I hope you and yours are safe and sound and healthy.
Yes, and if you were at the beach, I hope you all wore masks.
Yes.
And if you didn't wear a mask, why not?
Yeah, a lot of people aren't wearing their masks like they're supposed to. We were
either
out
that or they're all they're see-through masks, maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
That's what it is.
You know, we want to give humans the benefit of the doubt, but darn it, sometimes we just think that the humans are the problem here.
That's exactly right.
Right?
The humans are the problem.
I mean, we were tossing around themes for the show. We weren't big themers with this show, but one of them was we were talking about how in fairy tales, there's always a big giant. And a big giant steps on the little people. I mean, that's a metaphor for basically, I think Shakespeare said it best. Can I read a quote?
Oh, please.
Why, man, he doth bestride the narrow world like a colossus, and we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. I mean, that kind of sums it up.
Wow.
There's the big giant, and then there's the little tiny guy that just tries to find his grave.
So that's we've been talking a lot about how,
Julius Caesar.
How humans are giants in a way.
There are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. Now that's from Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine.
Which
and
we talk a lot about on
that's
this
That's sung
show.
By Jack.
Jack.
The famous Jack.
Jack
goes
up the beanstalk.
Goes up the beanstalk. We're talking about how some people are just cruel. Cruel to the little people and cruel to the animals. And I think Fyodor Dostoevsky. May I do another quote?
Please.
Fyodor Dostoevsky said it best when he said, "People speak sometimes about the bestial cruelty of man. But that is terribly unjust and offensive to beasts. No animal could ever be so cruel as a man, so artfully, so artistically cruel." I mean, seriously, when you go into a slaughterhouse and see how artistically cruel that operation is and how mechanically cruel it is, that's why they don't want you to see what's going on in there.
Artistically cruel is really an interesting expression.
Well, that was Dostoevsky. Nietzsche probably was more blunt with it when he said, "Man is the cruelest of animal." And, you know, I'm sure that Nietzsche wasn't talking about all humans, but there's a lot of them out there that are just darn right cruel. And we like to call them giants.
We're calling them giants.
Right.
Yeah.
Evil giants. Giants. Like when Jack ran up the beanstalk, he was confronted by the giant who liked to eat
People.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
They were tasty snacks.
Somehow Jack escaped being eaten because the female giant took a liking to him.
Well, yeah, the giant's wife. The
giant's wife, who was also a giant.
Right. And in Jack's song, he sings about how she took him in and held him close to her breast. Her
and
giant
he learned
breast.
Things that he had never learned before.
Yeah. There was some funny business going on with Jack and the giant's wife. And he was jealous and tried to kill Jack, and Jack ended up killing him. And then the giant's wife came down the beanstalk to get revenge because Jack killed her husband. Now, how did the little guy... Well, you're going to have to consult your Bible about David and Goliath. How did little Jack kill the giant? I'm sure he used a slingshot or something. Anyway, what does this have to do with anything?
We've been having these discussions, you and I.
You and I have been having these discussions. This doesn't mean that anyone has to agree with us because this is just a discussion between Karen and I.
And we just thought we'd share our thoughts with you.
Right. We're going to give you kind of a dose of what we babble about when we sit down and have a meal. And it's all about food. It could be it's all about food and then the things that happen while you're eating food, right?
Exactly.
Like the conversations that you're having. What we are going to talk about food, because the holidays are coming up in September that a lot of people celebrate. There's a lot of cruelty going on with some of the traditions of this holiday with more of the Orthodox people who follow it. And you'll have to explain to us what that's all about and why we feel that some of the practices, like killing a turkey at Thanksgiving, is also cruel in our mind, yet it's done by millions and millions of people around the country. Point is, some folks will be celebrating these holidays, and do you know what's actually going on behind the scenes in some of these holidays? I mean, a lot of these synagogues and things put up these tarps and these tents, and what goes on behind these tents, or inside these tents, I should say, is intense. Karen, take it away.
Okay.
What is one of the holidays?
So one of the holidays coming up, well, they're the high holidays. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, and about 10 days later is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And the Day of Atonement is when the Jewish people who observe this holiday ask for forgiveness for their sins. And one thing that I like about it, I've mentioned this before, is what we're supposed to do is think about what we've done wrong during the year and who we've wronged and go to them and ask for forgiveness. And we're supposed to ask them, and if they don't forgive us, we have to ask them a total of 3 times, sincerely, genuinely. And if they don't forgive us, then God will forgive us. Okay, it's symbolic.
That's actually kind of beautiful.
We've talked about it before. There's this tradition that takes place amongst some of the more orthodox, and it's called Kaparot. And I'll read to you from one of the religious sites what it is. On Eve Yom Kippur, it is customary to do Kaparot, during which a rooster, a hen for a woman, 2 hens and 1 rooster for pregnant women, is swung around above one's head while saying, "This is my exchange, my substitute, my atonement. This one shall go to its death, but I shall go to a good, long life and to peace."
Now, there are giants in the sky.
So what I was thinking with this particular scenario is that the human was the giant and the chicken was the innocent Jack, or the innocent victim.
The innocent victim. The innocent victim. And that happens right in the name of God.
Well, the fact that they're saying that they're going to exchange their sins to this chicken and they're going to receive a good long life and to peace, it just, how can they read that and believe that that's going to happen and think that it's okay to do that to an innocent chicken?
Yeah, and I think this is considered a religious ritual and it's protected by law. And there's a lot of protests that go on and a lot of lawsuits are happening.
Oh, it's protected by our civil law, state law here in New York, for example. It's
protected by some of the civil laws.
Yeah, so there are activists that are trying to get Kaparot stopped.
Yeah, a lot of hardworking activists out there trying to do it, but there are also lots of them getting arrested when they do. And they're
trying to show that it is an illegal activity because of these live animals and how unhealthy it is.
Right, and how cruel they are to the live animal. One of the arguments was when someone was trying to make sense with someone who was being very violent with them about this, an activist said, it's like, you know, okay, so let's say that you're going to kill a cow, but you don't beat up the cow first before you kill it. And this is kind of what you're doing. You're beating up the chicken. You're being cruel to the chicken before you're killing it. That to me was just like, okay, if that's a compromise, I mean, I don't get it. But anyway, I don't want to sound like I'm preaching, but this is not okay with me personally.
Yeah, it's not okay with me either. I remember I saw, maybe about a decade ago, at a temple around the corner from where we live.
Yeah, we have a lot of synagogues around us, a lot of temples.
And there was one which is quite orthodox, right around the corner. And in their parking lot, it was about a week before Yom Kippur, they had chickens in cages. And I was first thinking, why are these chickens in cages? And then I was connecting the dots as I was walking past. And then I realized, oh, I know what they're going to do with these chickens. I thought to myself, I should talk to the people. And I was passing by. I just wasn't prepared. If I had been prepared, I would have spoken with them because I wasn't intimidated or afraid to speak to them. That's not me. Afterwards, I thought, no, it's not the people I should have spoken to. It was the chickens I should have spoken to. Because I think that might have given them maybe a little relief or understanding that they're not alone.
You wanted to comfort the chickens because
comfort
you knew
them.
They were going off to their doom.
Right.
And I'll just talk about this meme that I saw along those lines. It was on Honey LeBronx's Instagram page. They shared it from a meme from Compassion Over Cruelty. And it's of a car on its way to the beach, and there's a dog in the car, and the dog is sticking its head out the window, and the dog is looking at a semi-truck that's these big semis that carry animals to slaughter, and the dog is looking at the cage, and the dog says, "Hello, pig," and coming back, the little bubble coming back from the cage, as if they're speaking from inside the cage, reads, "Hi, dog." And then the next frame is we see the little pig's face looking out its little portal and says, "Where are you headed?" The pig says. And the dog says, "I'm going to the beach." And then the pig says, "What's a beach?" And the dog says, "There are kids to play with, water to swim in, and every human wants to pet you." And then there's a close-up on the pig through the cage, and the bubble reads, "That sounds like fun. I hope I'm going to the beach."
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people, when they see these trucks driving by, know what's going to happen and basically kind of turn the other way. There are some activists, however, who when the trucks are stopped outside the gates of the slaughterhouses, they actually run up with water bottles and try to give water to the animals about to be slaughtered.
And sometimes they get arrested doing that.
They get arrested. And that's kind of what you are talking about and I'm talking about now with respect to how these lawyers are trying to get these cruel practices to stop, as they're trying to say. You know, this is cruelty above and beyond cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
Swinging a chicken over its, you know, over your head and then slitting its throat is just
Above and beyond
cruel.
Yes.
I mean, it has nothing to do with religion. If you're going to eat the chicken, get it over with. But why do you have to beat up the chicken before you do that?
It's just crazy.
Yeah. So,
it's just crazy. And you know, if you've sinned, you can atone for your sins. You don't have to exchange it with an innocent animal.
This is something that to me seems just sadistic.
Yeah.
Sadistic.
It's sadistic. Anyway, so that's where we were talking about how we were thinking of humans as giants.
Giants, yeah. Big, huge footprints.
With big footprints. Scary giants, yeah.
Scary, scary giants. So that's why we're tossing this back and forth on our program, because it's all about food, but it's all about art as well. And, you know, there's a lot of writers out there. They're drawing some great parallels with allegories and poetry and things. And when you look past it, you can kind of see it in your own life. There are just people stepping on little people and little animals and big animals, as Karen has said. You know, there's a lot of big animals that get slaughtered.
And, so just to wrap up the caparote, we mentioned Dr. Karen Davis last week of the United Poultry Concerns. She does excellent work. If you go to her website, upc-online.org, you can see right on the homepage, "Help us help Caparos chickens. Please support our campaign." They're teaming up with the Alliance to End Chickens as Caparos. Her website will take you to another website, which is endchickensascaparos.com. Now, I said caparote before, and I'm saying caparos right now. Just like dialects in any language, you can pronounce this tradition two ways, depending on whether you're Sephardic or Ashkenazi in the Jewish religion. Kaparos, Kaparot, they're both the same and they're both horrible.
And you know, another activist that I need to give a shout out to that does a lot during this time of year is Michael Herron. A lot of you probably know who he is, but he is a big vegan activist and he is always on scene at some synagogue trying to stop this cruel religious practice.
Right. So if you go to either of these websites, one will lead you to the other. You can donate if you want to help them end this. They've got all kinds of campaigns going on, letter writing and creating posters to educate people about this particular tradition. And there are also protests. So if you want to participate in one, you'll have to do a search for what's going on in your area.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to take a sigh here.
Yeah, that's okay. Take two sighs.
Okay, two sighs.
So what we're asking people to do is be mindful of what's going on in the world. That's what we get to when we transition to a vegan lifestyle, is we become mindful. I wasn't mindful of all of these things before I became a vegan. I knew that they were out there, but I sort of turned the other way. It was a conscious effort for me to actually turn my head a little bit and see really what's going on behind the slaughterhouse walls and these crazy religious practices of swinging a chicken over your head and slitting its throat and then saying it's because of something holy. But also, I know that we have interviewed Tal Ronan on this show, and one of his first cookbooks was The Conscious Cook.
Mm.
And it's kind of connecting the dots with your food and how it gets to the table, and what does it go through to get to the table? Does it suffer? Does it live a short and miserable life? Does it have a mommy and eyes?
A face.
And a face. And
one of the things that I hope happens in a future, a positive future, I like to think of things that can happen in the future, when it comes to chefs, for example,
right,
and chefs that go to chef school, I would like to see them taught how to make dishes that are beautifully presented, very tasty and pleasing to the palate, but also nutritious and compassionate.
Right.
This should all come together. And we know that food can be made that is vegan, that is kind, that is not cruel, that is nutritious, and is amazingly delicious. Nutritious and delicious.
You can get enough protein from eating plants.
Oh, please. Let's not talk about protein
and
today.
Let's talk about something that's in the news, though, that has to do directly with food. And when somebody goes vegan and then somebody decides not to go vegan.
Okay, you know who we're talking about.
Because of something called brain fog. I don't know what that is yet, but let's talk about Miley Cyrus.
Okay, I will. And people have written in and said, are you going to talk about Miley Cyrus on the next show? And here we are. We're talking about her. But we're not going to talk about Miley for too long. Because number one, Miley is just some famous person because of her singing and performance and her eccentricities, perhaps. And she's not an expert in nutrition. Done.
Done.
Okay. We don't want to follow what she has to say. But the problem is she has a platform. The problem is she makes headlines and people read them. And then we have to defend ourselves. Well, Miley isn't a vegan anymore, so vegan must not be good. No, people, don't go there.
But the misinformation that got out because Miley is not an expert is why we're talking about it. Because
yes,
we wanna,
she said she had some kind of brain fog.
We want to clear it.
And she needed more.
We want to clear that fog.
And she needed more omegas. Now, does she even know what she's talking about when she's talking about omegas? Because there are omega-3 fatty acids, omega-6 fatty acids, and omega-9 fatty acids.
So what we're really going to talk about today are omega fatty acids.
What I want to talk about is who you're going to follow when it comes to nutrition. So if somebody says, are you still going to be a vegan because Miley isn't anymore? It's like, really? Are you going to follow Miley for nutrition advice? Please. Now, you would hope that people that have extreme wealth would have outstanding doctors, but it's not always the case.
No.
So
it was very interesting how much press Miley got for this.
It was, and it was sad. But, you know, okay. Anyway, I don't want to go there. I don't want to give her that much credit. But let's talk about brain fog for a minute. So she was saying she had brain fog. I've had brain fog when I was on chemotherapy. Okay.
Right.
I had brain fog because I had these tremendously aggressive, strong toxins going on in my brain.
Right.
And I remember it. It was indescribable, actually. It was just this strange feeling, and I called it woozy. I was woozy.
Right. I don't know. I know what woozy is, but I don't know what Miley meant about brain fog, because I can see when you're on chemotherapy, a drug that's designed to kill you, you would have a little brain fog. I mean, I've felt woozy before, but never brain foggy. I don't even know what she's talking about. But what got me was the fact that all of this attention was paid to her not being vegan anymore by eating a little fish.
So let's talk about Dr. Dean and Ayesha Sherzai. They are neurologists. They're married. They're a delightful couple. They have tremendously brilliant children.
Right.
We were recently told they're 15 and 13 and they're in college.
Right. They graduated high school at like what, six?
I don't know. 11, I think. 11. Incredible. Okay. And these are lovely people. I've had them on the program.
They are vegans.
When they came out with their book, The Alzheimer's Solution. And they basically say that we can prevent 90% of the Alzheimer's cases, which is a tremendous statement.
With food.
With a whole food plant diet, exercise, mindfulness, meditation. And they explain all of this in their book. And everything they say is backed by science.
Science, 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 science. Science. They've blinded us with science, folks. Science. To quote Thomas Dolby.
They posted on their Instagram page. They also posted it on their Facebook page. You can check it out at Team Sherzai MD.
So they respond to Miley Cyrus.
They did.
And what did they say?
Well, they wrote a pretty long...
Because Miley was talking about...
It's not that long, but it's long enough. But...
Miley was talking about brain fog, right?
So they basically said in the beginning of their post is that she's eating fish now after being vegan for a long time because her brain wasn't functioning properly. And they say it's sad to hear that because there's no shortage of any evidence that vegans can be healthy, strong, and brilliant. And they continue, and I invite you to read what they wrote. But they mention that brain not functioning properly is vague. And multifaceted symptoms affected by so many things, not just avoiding fish, sleep deprivation, junk food, stress, not being organized, recreational drugs, anyone?
Yeah, hello.
So there are lots of things that could have caused her problems. And there's so much evidence that a healthy plant diet is ideal for humans.
Enough said.
Enough said.
So, but people are going to give the press to Miley.
But you know what, Gary? People, in general, have short-term memories, and they look for the next...
Ironic.
Isn't that funny? They look for the next sensational topic.
Right.
So the Miley buzz will die.
Right.
But the science and the evidence and the hot-looking vegans will continue.
That's right. That's right. And may I just, again, reiterate, you're one hot-looking vegan.
I was just going to say, and I'm looking at one.
Oh, now we're going to make everybody on the other side of this podcast microphone puke. Sorry about that, folks. But listen, the world is getting hotter.
Oh.
There's no denying that.
Yes.
And it's getting crueler.
Hotter and crueler. Is there a connection?
Is it about giants in the sky? Could it be? Who knows?
Or is it about... Let's talk about the world getting hotter.
Oh, you know, I'm from California. And is anybody following that my poor beloved home state of California and what they're going through? The fires weren't enough. Now there are temperatures bursting 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's like cool compared to some of these. I mean, Palm Springs the other day, my friend posted, was 125.
Wow.
Okay. And then you've got this phenomenon happening in Colorado where it was like 90 yesterday and today it's snowing.
Crazy. How does that happen? I know.
I mean, and then there's just, we're like 70 degrees today. It was like perfect today.
It was in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had...
Chicago
I
was like...
I think it reached 80, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Chicago was like 75 degrees today.
Yeah,
I mean, Chicago,
quite pleasant, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is climate change, global warming, a subject we're not really hearing much about right now. We're hearing about COVID-19, a pandemic. We're hearing about the economy in the toilet. We're hearing about insults to veterans. We're hearing about all kinds of things. We're not hearing about Climate change,
and that should be something that's in the front.
This is the biggest crisis.
Insults to veterans and climate change should be in the front. And I agree that no veteran should ever be insulted. And especially no veteran should ever be insulted by the President of the United States. But we should also be giving just as much heat to the fact that it's getting hotter. And there's a reason for that. And that, too, is backed by science.
Not only is it going to get hotter, but we're going to have more and more extreme weather conditions. And we're seeing that. We're seeing extreme weather. We're seeing hurricanes, tornadoes, heat waves, fires. Just everywhere there's something different. And going from hot to cold overnight, literally. Yeah.
We're not just reacting, folks. We actually have read the science that backs this up. But do you believe in science anymore? Or do you believe in some kind of other thing? I don't know.
Anyway, so the thing about global warming, and I like calling it global warming better than climate change, because that's what's happening. The globe is warming.
Right. And these strange things
are
happening.
What needs to happen, there's only one thing that needs to happen. We've said it before. I have to say it again. This information needs to be shared, spread around, Miley Cyrus or not. People need to go plant-based today. Because if everybody started eating more plants and eating less animals, and, you know, I would like everybody to get off the animal, but even like 10, 20, 30%, if people reduce their animal consumption overnight, we would mitigate global warming. We would slow down the heating of this planet.
Right.
Overnight.
Right. It's,
and it won't really cost much. We don't have to really modify any.
You don't have to build a big
factories.
Infrastructure. Yeah.
Some people will be hit by it, obviously, the meat industry.
But they're adapting now. We've seen it.
A lot of companies are adapting.
A lot of companies are switching over.
I'm not saying that if people stop eating animals, global warming will go away, because we have heavily polluted our environment and put lots of greenhouse gases into the environment. And we've knocked down many trees and there's very little habitat for wildlife, et cetera, et cetera. But if we stop consuming the quantities of animals that we're consuming, this would slow down the rate of warming and give us time to adjust our technology, go to sustainable energy sources, clean up our factories, and make the planet livable.
Yeah, you know what they're saying to you right now, Karen?
Not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen, you tree hugger.
I am a tree hugger.
Literally. There's a wonderful picture of Karen hugging a tree. That's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it all has to do with kindness over cruelty, right? And being kind to the planet, being kind to the animals, being kind to your body, being kind, as opposed to being cruel. He who is cruel to animals becomes hard also in his dealings with men. We can judge the heart of a man by his treatment of animals. Immanuel Kant. And yes, he can.
You didn't say that.
No. His name is Immanuel Kant. And one more quote. All cruelty springs from weakness. Seneca. Seneca was being cynical when he said that. But
that's a good one.
Yeah, so I think all of this ties together. You have to connect the dots. You have to understand that much cruelty going on every single day. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of animals are being killed. And why? It doesn't have to happen. You can eat plants.
Yeah. So can you see how this idea that we had that we're the giant?
Some of us are the giants.
Some of us are the giants.
And
we
some
are
of us are down there with the animals getting stepped on and
the victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to bring enlightenment.
Yes. Maybe help spread the word to your friends and families and help them, because we need more people spreading the word.
Right.
And it's happening.
So we didn't want to preach, but we sound like missionaries. It's interesting.
We can't help it.
We're vegan missionaries. Okay, let's face it.
Okay, let's face it.
But listen, connecting the dots, being mindful, being conscious instead of unconscious, being a citizen instead of a consumer.
That's such a favorite theme of ours.
Yes.
Being a citizen instead of a consumer. I was talking to you this morning about herbs and spices.
Right.
Because I was thinking about this show. I remember we talked about herbs and spices last week. Thanks to those who wrote to us to ask where we get ours. I was happy to share that information. I was thinking about each herb and spice. You know, I love in some of these markets. I remember the first time I saw this was when I was in Israel in 1988, when I went vegan. And they had these big open markets with these big sacks of different herbs and spices. And you saw these incredible colors, the colors of turmeric and cumin and just so many big sacks of different spices and herbs.
I bet it was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
And lots of noise and lots of people weighing spices. And
I haven't seen anything like that since. I've seen some,
how romantic
I've
that
seen
must
some
have been.
Shishi kind of markets. Like right. In the Chelsea market, they had a place for herbs and spices where they had some smaller baskets.
Sure.
But anyway, beautiful stuff. And I thought, okay, when we want herbs and spices, we go to the store, we pick up a few bottles, or we go online and we order our 1 pound bags like we do, and we get them.
We buy them in bulk, yeah.
And just like that, they arrive and we use them and that's it. And then I thought, wait a minute, I have to think about where each one of these came from and how many people were involved in getting each one of them to our home.
Right.
And you, when you go through that, you have to gain so much more appreciation for everything you put in your mouth.
When you are mindful
when
about
it. When you are mindful.
And, you know, why does it stop when people are being fed an animal? Why isn't it as romantic as that story you told about the spices and how it gets there? Why do people not want to know how flesh gets to their supermarket?
Yeah, don't tell me about it.
Don't
I know,
tell me
I
about
know,
it.
I know.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
Don't tell me about it. I know. How a cow is artificially inseminated. How they are milked beyond their capacity until they drop.
How their babies are separated from them and put in cages.
Right.
Where did we learn how to do that to people? Because we do it to animals every day.
Exactly. Why does it stop when we're talking about this horrible practice of slaughtering animals, growing animals and slaughtering them? It's because it's cruel. It's cruel. And most of us aren't cruel. We don't want anybody to be harmed or hurt. Yet it stops with these farm animals. And it's really sad. It's sad. It's just sad. I mean, that's all you could say. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
So we're here to try to say, hey, going plant-based is not only delicious, not only easy, not only will you get enough protein.
And get omega-3s.
And get omega-3s. Everything you need in fruits and vegetables, legumes, nuts and seeds, and spices, and everything else in between. But it's also, you're going to make peace with your food, your conscience.
You told me that I'm going to talk about omegas, so let me have an omega moment here.
Have an omega moment.
An omega moment. Okay. As humans, we need to consume a variety of nutrients. We need omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids for lots of reasons. And what we do is we take these nutrients and we change them up in our bodies to things called DHA and EPA. I'm not going to say what they stand for. They're long words. We use the abbreviations so much
easier. It's not the Environmental Protection Agency. We can tell you that.
Very good, Gary. And some of the things that really matter, there's this ratio of omega-6 fatty acids to omega-3 fatty acids. We need a ratio in order to have all of our mechanisms work and do what they're supposed to do. The question is, what is the ratio? There are different schools of thought. Some say we need 4-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3. Some say we need 1-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3. It varies. Most people on the standard American diet are getting like 15-to-1, 30-to-1, some ridiculous amount of omega-6 to omega-3. We get a lot more omega-6s and we need them, but we don't need as much as we're getting. And we get them from a lot of oils and we get them from fast food and junk food that have a lot of these omega-6 containing oils in them. And this is part of the problem. So if we eliminate those foods, right away we're going to be so much closer to that ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids that we need. Now, where do we get omega-3 fatty acids from? We get them from flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts. Leafy greens have them, maybe not as big a quantity, but they're there. And we need to be eating these foods. So if we're eating the right foods, whole food plant-based diet, high in greens, adding, sprinkling in some flax seeds, ground, of course, you want to ground your flax seeds, ground your chia seeds, they become more absorbable. You don't want to just pass them, have them slip right through your body. You want to grind them up.
And where do you keep them? Do you keep them in the cupboard?
Thank you.
Do you keep them in the basement? Do you keep them in the freezer?
I recommend keeping ground flax seeds, ground chia seeds in the freezer.
So they don't get...
So they don't get rancid. Oh my God, I've been to some people's homes where they've offered me their flaxseed and...
Rancid.
Okay, am I getting off the subject here? Not really. We're talking about omega-3 fatty acids.
I mean, people are going to be calling you and asking... Or calling. Nobody calls anymore. People are going to be writing and asking about flaxseeds because we get lots of great comments. Want to make sure everyone knows that you should grind them and then keep them in the freezer.
And I know you can buy them ground. And if you can't
get a spice grinder,
any other way, that's okay. But it's so much better if you buy them whole, buy chia seeds whole, buy flax seeds whole. They'll last forever. And then you grind them when you're ready to use them.
And now there's golden flax seeds and then there's regular flax seeds. Does it matter?
Not really. The nutritional profile of golden and brown can vary. And right. I've read some reports that say that golden have less omega-3 than I've read others that say they have more. It really depends on where they're grown, how they're grown, but they're both good.
And we put flax seeds in everything. I mean, we even use it as an egg replacer. We put a little water with a tablespoon or two of flax seeds, a tablespoon or two of water. We mix it up and it behaves like an egg white.
You can even whip it.
You can whip it.
It's not as magical as aquafaba, but it does a pretty good job.
Right, but before we knew that bean water we were dumping down the drain
was
whipped up like meringue,
in disguise.
We were trying to do it with flax seeds, and it worked pretty well. And it's a stabilizer. It can, you know, keep your cakes together and your pancakes together and your waffles together and all the things.
Yeah, and they're good in smoothies. They thicken things up a little bit. And they're very nutritious. You can put them in baked goods, sprinkle them on your salads. I like to sprinkle them on my breakfast bowl. Gary doesn't, but that's okay. He eats them in other places.
You know what I find that are better? It's better for my breakfast bowl is what you also mentioned in this rant that you're doing, and that is chia seeds.
You like the taste of chia seeds.
Chia seeds for
not
my
as
breakfast bowl.
For you.
I don't think that flax seeds are offensive. I think that chia seeds are just a little more.
Yeah.
My thing on top of
cool.
a breakfast
now,
bowl.
Now, the other piece of this, so we're working on working on reducing the omega-6 fatty acids we get from processed foods, from too much oil. And then we're increasing the amount of omega-3s we're getting from flax seeds and chia seeds and hemp seeds and dark leafy green vegetables so that we're getting a better ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. But that may not be enough as we age. And we may not be able to make the DHA and the EPA that we need.
Right.
And the experts that I trust, the experts who I respect, recommend that vegans especially supplement DHA and EPA. We get ours from Dr. Furman's DHA Purity. There are other brands you're welcome to try. I've tried a few brands. I find that his stays fresher longer and tastes better. But
stays fresher longer. Tastes better.
It's true. It's true. It's expensive, okay? But...
Well, so is a pound of fish or whatever. I mean, it's like...
Exactly.
I'd rather do the little bottle of DHA. You do your 75 milliliters and yes... Put it in your mouth and it's...
And you're done. And Drs. Dean and Ayesha Sherzai, who I mentioned before, the neurologist who wrote the Alzheimer's Solution, they recommend supplementing with a DHA product as well. And where do we get our DHA EPA product from?
Same place the fish get it, Karen?
Exactly. Algae.
Algae. What's it all about? Algae. Oh.
That's funny. You know, I have to be honest. We don't plan any of this. The whole hour is completely improvised.
Oh, come on. That's
not true.
The songs.
Well, come on. The songs are improvised.
The songs, yeah.
When we break out into song, it's totally spontaneous.
No, we really do. It all makes sense in the end. We sound spontaneous, but we really are working very hard to bring this show to you in an entertaining and informative way. And that's why I'm not wearing any pants right now. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm sorry.
Thank
kidding.
Goodness this is an all audio program.
Yeah.
Should we go to video?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Should we go to video, fellas, in the booth? There's nobody in the booth. We don't even have a booth. So this DHA... The same place the fish get it.
Yes.
It goes directly to my brain and it clears up the fog. That's to answer your question about whether or not I was getting brain fog.
Yeah.
Or woozy.
Circuitously
or
somehow.
Woozy.
Yeah. It will help.
I came back around to that. But since I've
We don't need to eat fish.
No.
Yeah.
And fish is loaded with bad stuff too.
Exactly.
Poor babies.
PCBs and mercury and all the... Yeah. Garbage we throw into our giant toilet.
And that's another ritual that's questionable.
We are giants and we throw our garbage into our giant toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
The ocean.
We are mean giants when we talk about giants. Because I'm sure there's some nice giants up there.
Yeah.
There's some companies that
are
actually
some
doing
nice
some really
giants.
Great things now.
Yes.
Trying to be gentler with the planet. Speaking of the planet, it is round.
There are some people that think it's flat.
Right. I just want everybody to know that it's round. Galileo and a few other cats way back when figured that one out. So, and it's spinning, and it's getting hotter, and it's getting crazier out there. But we're here trying to keep things cool. So some of the stuff that we cooked this week, we had some really good food. Some of the things we cooked have been on this program before. And one of the things that we cooked was potato pancakes.
No, we made potato tortillas.
Potato tortillas, only I call them potato pancakes.
Yes, they're tortillas, and they are going to, the recipe will be
the
posted.
The recipe is going into the book.
At Responsible Eating and
Living. And that's what I wanted to talk about next.
Oh, the book.
Everybody out there.
The book.
We have started our cookbook.
The book.
Responsible Eating and Living was founded in July of 2011, and 9 years worth of recipes are now being considered for our very first, the first of many cookbooks, and we're finally putting pen to paper. We're using fountain pens and parchment, and that way we can connect our hearts and our minds to this book that we have labored over for 9 years, and we're putting the recipes together. And so by this time next year,
When we turn 10 years old,
we will have our cookbook out.
Yeah,
and it's
I'm
very
excited.
Exciting.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm not sure what to call it. I don't know if we should call it the Swingin' Gourmets, Make Vegan Comfort Classics, or whatever it is. So if anybody has a great title for us, let us know what you think we should call our cookbook. It's going to be, the first one's going to be all about the comfort classics that we, you know, we love so much.
It's fun reviewing them all, too.
For example, Karen's mom did this incredible vegan chopped liver. We're talking about
the
high holy days coming
up. Traditions.
The traditional holidays where you have, you know, chopped liver. And she did a vegan chopped liver with string beans, walnuts, and onions. And it's delicious.
It is.
And it's seriously.
Everybody loves it. Even the chopped liver lovers like it.
Chopped liver lovers love it.
And it's great schmeared
on a matzah. Yeah. And we even have a matzah recipe that we're going to put in the book that isn't offensive either.
That's right. We have all kinds of traditions.
Yeah.
For religious holidays of all persuasions.
Well, you know, we thought it would be a good idea to do a cookbook of our own because we are in, our recipes are in like 5 or 6 cookbooks.
Yeah, it's time to do our own. And we've been talking about doing our own for a long time, but now it's actually happening.
And I think that this cookbook is going to be not only a Pulitzer Prize winner, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, but it's also going to be a darn fine cookbook. Yes. I just want to say that.
Thank you. Yeah. I believe it.
And I'm really excited about that. And that's some news from Responsible Eating and Living Headquarters.
Yes.
What are some of the other things we had this week that were really delicious?
Well, we haven't tasted it yet, but I made sauerkraut in the dishwasher.
That's right. We need to explain what that means, making sauerkraut in the dishwasher.
Did we talk about that last week? I don't know.
I don't think so, but it bears repeating if we did, because so I think it was brilliant myself.
We stopped using the dishwasher months ago.
So anyway, I think we did talk about it last week, maybe not, but now we could talk about it in the next chapter of the sauerkraut in the dishwasher.
Because it's finished.
It's finished.
Yes. So the dishwasher was a really nice place to put the sauerkraut. So if you've ever made sauerkraut, you know that you need to have it fill the jar and it needs to be really packed down well, but it needs to be submersed in the salty brine. Is that redundant?
No.
Salty brine?
No.
And then I fill it and I make sure there's enough liquid and I tighten it and it tends to leak the first couple of days and spill over. I keep it in a dark cabinet, and I don't like making a mess, so I usually put it in a bowl or something.
Well, sometimes it bubbles over, right?
Yeah, so Gary had this idea, let's put it in the dishwasher because we don't use it, and it's dark in there. And he put it in a plastic bag.
And it's draft-free. There's no draft in there.
Yeah, it may be our best batch, even though you won't eat it, but I will.
I won't eat it because I am a buffoon. Okay, my mother tried to warn everyone about me. I am a buffoon. And if something doesn't taste right to me, I don't eat it. Now, normally I eat everything. Sauerkraut, I've had my share of sauerkraut on a dog before, a vegan dog, of course. But for some reason, it's not one of my go-to foods.
Can I share a story?
Pickles, I love.
Yeah. Can I share my sauerkraut story?
Yes.
My love of sauerkraut story.
Yeah.
When I was a small girl, I was a little girl, I used to go to amusement parks. And in 6th grade, 7th grade, around then, I was friends with a girl whose family owned a bunch of amusement parks on Long Island and in New Jersey, maybe upstate New York somewhere.
Wow, you knew someone who actually owned amusement parks.
Yeah,
that's
so
really cool.
Was
their last name Disney?
No. I think the grandfather owned the amusement park and then her mom owned the concessions, something like that.
Oh, okay.
But the point is, whenever I went with her, we could ride on everything as long as we wanted for free and then go into the restaurant. And what I would go to eat was the sauerkraut that they had on the condiment table.
Hello.
I wasn't really into the hot dog or anything. I would just get like a little bowl and it was free. And I would just like go to the condiment table and
everybody,
eat the sauerkraut.
I just want to tell you, this is true. A snack for Karen is a bowl of sauerkraut. All right.
But I was a kid and I loved it.
You were a kid. You know, most kids turn their nose up to it. The buffoon here who's speaking now turned his nose up to it when he was a kid. He's tried to like sauerkraut, but for some reason, he just is a buffoon. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I was raised to like sauerkraut, I guess. Anyway.
So you ate this sauerkraut at the amusement park when all of everybody else was eating hot dogs. You were there munching on sauerkraut.
And I wasn't even a vegetarian then. I just liked sauerkraut.
Oh my goodness. That is a great story. Well, I love pickles. And so we made some pickles, but not the
official pickles.
Not the
just
official
quick
way.
Pickles.
I sliced up a cucumber. I was very proud of this, by the way, everybody. Listen to this now. You're going to agree with me that this was genius. Okay, I was really wanting some pickles. So I took a cucumber and I sliced it really thin, made the little round cucumber discs, and I put it in a glass bowl, Pyrex. I sprinkled a bunch of apple cider vinegar on it. We were talking about dried herbs before. We have this wonderful dried dill that we love to use. And I sprinkled a bunch of dill on it, put the lid on the glass container. We have a Pyrex container, shook it up so that all of the slices of cucumber were coated with the dill. Oh, and you know what else I added? Cardamom.
Cardamom.
Say that fast. Cardamom. I added cardamom to it, set it in the refrigerator for like 20 minutes while I was preparing dinner.
Is it cardamom or coriander?
Oh, wait. Cardamom, coriander, both maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. What was the seed? The seeds are coriander.
The little round seeds, yeah. Coriander.
Okay, so it was coriander.
Those are the seeds from
it
cilantro.
It wasn't cardamom. It was cardamom. It wasn't cardamom. It was coriander. So I put coriander in there. 20 minutes later, it was like a pickle.
It was really good.
It was great.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Gary, you know what?
What's that?
We've been talking for an hour.
Wow, we're in a pickle.
Well, okay, it's time to wrap it up one more time.
Let's wrap this pickle up.
Yes, thank you, Gary, for joining me one more time.
Oh, thank you,
there,
Gary.
There are giants in the sky.
Boom.
Yes, thanks again for listening, for being with us, for caring about food and our planet. You can find us at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Send us an email at info@realmeals.org. We love chatting with you. Gary?
Karen, I love chatting with you. And
thank
I just
you.
Love you. I don't know.
Okay.
Thanks for being with this buffoon.
Everybody,
have a delicious week!